Good afternoon, everybody. I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday, March 28th. Committee members present are Senator Dunbar, Senator Giesel, Vice Chair Kaufman, and Senator Tobin, and myself, Senator Wilson, and we do have a quorum to conduct business today. We have three items on the agenda, all considered appointees, one to the State Medical Board, Dr. David Paulson, and then two considerations of governor appointees to the Alaska Mental Health Authority Board of Trustees, Anita Haltman and John Morris. I believe everyone has their packets, and we have Dr. Morris before us on Teams. And so, Dr. John Morris, if you could just give us a brief overview of your credentials and experience and how they relate and to the Alaska Mental Health Board and sort of your vision of why you want to serve on the board, and we can start from there, and then we'll go into committee members' questions.
Certainly, sir. Chairman Wilson, thank you, and distinguished members of the Senate Health and Social Services Committee. I appreciate you considering my nomination to the Mental Health Trust Board of Trustees. For the record, my name is John Morris, and I'm both honored and humbled, frankly, to come before your committee today. I'd like to share my personal experiences, education, and motivations in seeking to serve the beneficiaries of the trust. Successful trustees have ability in financial management and investment, in land management, or in service to trust beneficiaries. We've got some truly great trustees on the board today. And my knowledge and expertise is frankly dwarfed by theirs, but I do have personal experience and education touching on each of these facets of board work. By way of introduction, I've lived in Alaska for 7 years, and my wonderful wife, Cece, and I were married down in Homer 5 years ago, anniversary coming up here at the end of May. She and I have chosen to make our lives here in Alaska. My father's a firefighter, my mom's a nurse. During my childhood, my dad would take me with him on emergency medical calls in rural West Virginia. I learned a lot on those calls, not the least of which being the rewards of service to others. While in high school, I led a search dog team, which successfully found and rescued a young hunter who, suffering from developmental disabilities, had gotten lost in the woods. I did CPR for the first time when I was 12 years old. I graduated valedictorian from a large city high school in West Virginia. Went on to Wake Forest, graduated from there with honors and degrees in chemistry and English. After returning to West Virginia for medical school, I completed anesthesia residency at the University of Pennsylvania over in Philadelphia. And during school, I participated in multiple grant-funded research projects, and I published and presented research on topics including cancer, blood management, and the management of pain in children and the long-term impact of that pain on their development. During residency, I authored the chapter on the conduct of anesthesia in patients with neuropsychiatric disease for a nationally recognized anesthesia textbook. Due to strong personal interest, I took extra electives while in school in psychiatry and worked outside of class with a psychiatrist who specialized in adolescent psychiatry. After training, I entered academic medicine, primarily taking care of children requiring major surgery. After this, I took a year off from the full-time practice of medicine. I worked with a colleague to document an investment portfolio performance history with an eye to starting a hedge fund. I managed other people's money, primarily friends and relatives, and kept track of his performance. I studied rigorously and sat for the Chartered Financial Analyst Level 1 exam. Despite being successful monetarily with this, I returned to the active practice of medicine. During this time, I felt the responsibility of caring for someone else's hard-earned money while seeking to make prudent decisions on their behalf, in addition to the nuances of trading and portfolio management. Returning to full-time anesthesia, I worked in Colorado and then again in West Virginia in private practice. Here, I bought a 64-acre farm with some mineral rights where I received an unlooked-for education on several aspects of land management, including property rights, environmental impacts, and how to deal with corporate entities with differing desired uses of the land. For instance, I worked with the Extension Service to determine the best agricultural use of the land, starting a hay farm called Four Dozen Farms. Consulted with the State Department of Environmental Protection to deal with old coal mine runoff, and successfully litigated a right-of-way and environmental damage dispute with a large utility corporation. and finally going through the legal processes of holding and conveying the property with and without the mineral rights via various corporate vehicles. In my daily practice of medicine, I routinely work with trust beneficiaries and have received formal training and education and professional experience with the full spectrum of organic brain injuries and disease, mental illness, and developmental challenges. My life has also been personally touched by mental illness. People who I have cared for deeply have suffered from dementia of various types, depression, alcohol misuse, substance misuse, post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and developmental delays. When I'm considering hiring someone in my regular work, no matter what the job is, I look first for motivation. Motivation, I feel, is the greatest asset I bring to this confirmation hearing. Caring for trust beneficiaries is deeply personal to me. In their experiences, I see my own and the experiences of those who I've cared for in the past. I've been awed more than once seeing someone else overcome something which I didn't think I could. There's nothing more Alaskan than caring for one another, and few things more uniquely Alaskan than the Alaska Mental Health Trust. Serving our beneficiaries as a trustee would be a true privilege. And I thank you again for considering my nomination and would be happy to answer any questions that you might have for me.
Thank you, Dr. Morris, for providing that. Are there questions for Dr. Morris? Senator Tobin.
Thank you. Dr. Morris. Can you please confirm once again the dates that you were employed by the Municipality of Anchorage?
I was employed from the Municipality of Anchorage from July 1st to, I believe, mid-October of 21.
And may I follow up? And at that time, did the Municipality of Anchorage receive any money from the Mental Health Trust?
Not to my personal knowledge, no, through the chair, Senator Tobin, not to my knowledge, no. In fact, I sought a meeting with the CEO of the Mental Health Trust at the time, which I found a remarkable meeting in which he told me that the Mental Health Trust, quote, did not do homelessness. It was a relatively brief meeting.
Thank you for that.
Yes,
And this isn't necessarily specific to homelessness. In regards to the Municipality of Anchorage receive any monies from the Mental Health Trust, any grant funds or anything under your knowledge or anything that we should follow up on, as there is a statute, AS 47.30.016, subsection C, which does indicate, and I'm just going to read it so that we have that here for us. A member of the board appointed by the governor under B of this section may not, within the preceding 2 years or during the member's term of office, have interest in, served on the governing board of, or been employed by an organization that has received during that same period money from the Mental Health Trust Settlement Income Account under a grant or contract for services. I believe this does not indicate for a specific grant or a specific service, just as an organization if they've received any funds thereof.
Through the chair, Senator Tobin, my apologies, but whether the Municipality of Anchorage did or did not receive money from any funding sources beyond my scope of knowledge.
Thank you for that. I do think we should follow up on that because I want to ensure that we are in alignment with statute.
Yes, I believe Mr. Morris is also up tomorrow as well, up in Senate Finance. So that's a question that we can definitely follow up with Mental Health Trust and maybe the next trustee can maybe answer that question for us. Dr. Morris, have you served on any meetings thus far? Has the Mental Health Trust met since you've been appointed? Have you attended any of those meetings?
Chairman, I do not believe that there's been a meeting. I have not been to a meeting. I was sent the minutes of the meeting from January and have read those. Forgive me, I was unaware that I was going to have a hearing tomorrow with the Finance Committee. If it would be possible to find out when that is, or if you could direct me who to ask, I would appreciate it.
And I'm just saying that there is a hearing tomorrow on one of the Board of Trustees, so I didn't know if you're up tomorrow as well. So you might not be up. We'll double check.
Thanks, sir.
I think it's just Anita up tomorrow. All right, any other questions for Dr. Morris? Yes, Senator Tobin.
Thank you. And thank you again, Dr. Morris. And I apologize, as I do like to use the statute as we are doing these confirmations to ensure that we are in alignment with them. Was your name put forth by a panel that is outlined under that same statute, 47.30.016, the board establishment, to the governor, under your knowledge?
I do not have knowledge of that.
I believe that is something that we probably should follow up on, as the governor must consider a list of persons prepared by a panel, and it outlines the panel of six that will put forth names to the Mental Health Trust for consideration here by the governor, for consideration by the governor, and then confirmed by the legislature.
And Dr. Morris, you're not up tomorrow. It's just Ms. Halterman's up tomorrow. So
thank you, sir.
You have a pass for now. All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, I just want to say thank you for your time here, Dr. Morris, and thank you for the willingness to serve on this commission. We'll take a brief at ease here. We are back on the record. The next consideration of the governor's appointee to the Mental Health Trust Board is Ms. Anita Halterman. Ms. Halterman, you know the drill. This is your seeking reappointment to the Mental Health Trust Board. If you can just give us a brief background on your experience, your time on the Mental Health Trust Board of Trustees, and just tell us why you're interested in reappointment.
Thank you, Honorable Senator Wilson and the entire Health and Social Services Committee. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to introduce myself for consideration to appointment of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board. For the record, my name is Anita Marie Halterman. I am a public servant and have been for most of my career. My husband, Mark, and I have been married for over 38 years. We met at Fort Lewis, Washington, where we were both stationed in the Army. Since that time, we have mostly raised our family in both Delta Junction and in Eagle River, Alaska. I am happy to be considered for my renewal to an appointment to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board of Trustees. I actively took a role on the Board of Trustees in August of 2019, filling in for a trustee who needed to step down before her term had ended. I am now being considered for my first full term as trustee. My path leading me to the trust is a unique one. My employer asked me to seek appointments to boards and commissions on behalf of our business interests so that I could open more doors for sales of risk management solutions. I submitted a long application directly to the governor's office that outlined my skills, my abilities, and I asked that they consider me for any number of open opportunities, not yet fully understanding the opportunities nor the time commitment of what was to come. The trust had not yet been identified as an opportunity. When the opportunity did present, I was asked and quickly took the role, filling in for another trustee who was on her way off the board. After joining the board, I assumed several leadership roles. I held the role of chair of Audit and Risk Committee. I later assumed the role of vice chair in May of 2020 and then of finance committee chair in November of 2020. By January 2022, I became chair. At one point, I was serving in three roles at one time. Despite already starting my work on the trust, I have been anxiously awaiting confirmation for my own term. Serving on the Board of Trustees so far has been an enlightening and powerful journey for me. One that has expanded my knowledge of mental health needs, budgets, and the many programs offered throughout Alaska and funded by the trust and our other partners. I have worked with trust beneficiaries in a variety of roles, paid and unpaid, for most of my career. I enjoy giving back to my community, and in doing so, I have joined the board, and I have learned how to be actively engaged in new strategies and new funding opportunities that can help shape meaningful reform for mental health programs, and I would very much like to continue those efforts. Some of you may know me from my tenure with the Alaska Legislature, working during the 29th legislative session. Over the years, I've gotten to know many of you, and while I have reached out to some of you already, I have not been able to connect with all of you, and that time will come, and I look forward to it. As a child, I witnessed untreated mental health issues firsthand. I was ripped away from my family and placed into foster care several times during my childhood, but sadly not until after many years of neglect and abuse. After graduating high school, I joined the U.S. Army. I met my husband while in the service when I first arrived in Alaska in the mid-1980s. And after discharging from the United States Army, I followed my husband, who was stationed at Fort Greely in Delta Junction. We raised our eldest daughter there during the first few years of her life, and my family fell in love with Alaska. While we watched the economy suffer, we had to leave Alaska for a brief time, but we came back as soon as we were able, and we have lived in Eagle River for 28 years since our return to Alaska. I possess an MBA, which I obtained from Wayland Baptist University in 2016 while working as the chief of staff at a local legislature. I have extensive background working mainly with the Department of Health and Social Services Medicaid programs in both Iowa and Alaska, spending my last 7 years working with the Department of Health and Social Services Senior and Disability Services, mediating administrative appeals and serving as a program manager and supervisor. I have been involved in budget development for DHSS since my regulatory development days, serving as a Medicaid analyst in the late 1990s, early 2000s. At that time, I developed fiscal notes for regulatory projects for Alaska Medicaid. Since then, my exposure to budgets grew, as did my understanding of the programs in Alaska and how they're funded. I've also gained additional experience working with child support, the Department of Corrections, Public Safety, and Public Assistance Programs. I've devoted my life's work to working with populations that are underserved. I have had family members in need of guardianship, and I have lost an adult daughter to drug addiction. I recently just lost a woman who I called mom to cancer. Her addiction issues were an issue for her as she prepared to die. I watched in horror as her mental health issues continue to rip our families apart. And I continue to study issues such as our crisis now implementation for the benefit of the trust beneficiaries. And I continue to look forward to finding new solutions. I find it rewarding to improve programs and systems in order to allow them to provide the provision of better services to beneficiaries of programs. The trust has allowed me to gain additional insight into funding, policy development, and it has allowed me to grow into a better public servant with new ideas, new energy that I hope will allow me to serve the trust beneficiaries and to continue to find solutions that work for all Alaskans. Since starting work on the trust boards, I no longer work for an information technology company. I have since worked for a media production company for which I no longer also work. The time commitment for the trust has become an issue for my employers and for me. My experience in the public sector, however, positioning risk management, human resources, and other solutions for businesses, has given me new perspective about the healthcare needs for privately insured individuals. And it has expanded my understanding of a more global workforce and healthcare issues that face the Alaskans face. I have actively participated in budget development activities for many years, and my skills in this area continue to grow. I very much hope to continue to use my experience to help perform programs for now and for the future so that we can sustain them for populations that need them most. I look forward to continuing to improve the lives trust beneficiaries as we work in partnership with the departments and other stakeholders to build that integrative, comprehensive mental health program that better meets our trust beneficiaries' needs. I want to thank you for your consideration. I appreciate your support, and I look forward to working with all of you to protect and enhance the trust and to maximize its benefits to solve Alaska's mental health problems. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Halterman, for your testimony. And are there any questions for Ms. Halterman? Yes, Senator Geisel.
Well, actually, Mr. Chairman, is not so much a question as I just wanted to tell Ms. Halterman how much I appreciate the dedication she's given to the state and her many roles serving our state in multiple departments and divisions, and not the least of which is the Mental Health Trust. So thank you very much for your work.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator Geisel.
Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So thank you, Ms. Halterman. And I assume we know the answer to this question because you've already been serving on the board, but Senator Tobin had sort of surfaced this statute that says that in the last 2 years, an entity you work for hasn't received any funding from the Mental Health Trust Authority. Do you have any reason to believe that any of your, you mentioned a media company, for example, that any of those companies might have received mental health trust funds?
We did not, sir. I have not received any funds, nor have I worked for an agency that has received funds since I worked for state government. My last position with state government was when I worked with the 29th legislative session, 2015-16.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, I just want to thank both the conferees here at this time. We'll take another at ease here. We are back on the record. Our next consideration is Dr. David Paulson for the State Medical Board. Dr. Paulson, if you can just give the committee a brief overview of your experience, your resume, your interest of why you would like to serve on the State Medical Board, and just start by putting yourself on the record, and then we can start from there. Are you with us, Dr. Paulson?
Can you hear me?
Ah, there you go. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, this is David Paulson. I'm in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm a neurosurgeon in practice, private practice, solo practice, and I've been here since 2017. And I'm originally from San Antonio, and I'm a transplant since 2017. I went to medical school in San Antonio. And did an internship in Denver, Colorado, and a postdoctoral fellowship at University of Pennsylvania, followed by a residency, and I keep getting some feedback in my ear.
Just to let you know, you're coming through clear, so it's just on your end, but we hear you just fine.
Okay. So from and I did my residency at UTMB, my a spine fellowship in Seattle, and then my chief year in Arkansas. So So I'm hopeful to be a confirmed board member to the Alaska State Medical Board, and my interest to serve is, in a sense, a deeper embracing of Alaska. I'm blessed to be in Alaska, and I wanted to be an Alaskan since I was in elementary school. I was born in Texas, lived there for until my 30s when I went to, or after leaving medical school, was in Colorado, Pennsylvania, Texas, Washington, and Arkansas. And 2017 is when my wife and three boys and I moved to Alaska, and as a family, we decided that we were sinking our roots. This is home. And for 12 years of my postdoctoral training and residency, I kept my San Antonio number. I think it's kind of silly to think about, really, but it was a time when we became Alaskans is when we obtained our 907 phone number, and I'm proud to be an Alaskan from Texas now. And moving frequently and having three boys and in an all-encompassing neurosurgery residency, it didn't leave much time for service in the community, but I believe that service starts at home. And I was able to carve out time for my boys and Boy Scouts and managed to be an assistant scoutmaster throughout the three boys' scouting journey and made most of the monthly campouts. And two of my boys made it to Eagle Scout, and my youngest has finished his Eagle Scout project and is getting ready to sit for his Eagle Board of Review. And I have a sense of obligation to serve in the community, and I wanted to find something that fit me. And when I volunteered to serve on the Alaska Medical Board, I really had no idea what I was getting into, and I just had confidence that I can learn the ropes and be useful. I have a very blue-collar background. My father was a preacher and a Teamster truck driver. And as a young man, I worked as a baker's assistant, worked in a warehouse. I was a weaver in a textile mill. And I sold surgical equipment before going on to undergraduate and then to medical school. And I think having a varied background gives me a perspective that others don't have, and I want to use my critical thinking skills and background to protect fellow Alaskans and to protect the practice of medicine in Alaska. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Dr. Paulson. Are there questions or considerations for Dr. Paulson? Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have one question. As I'm looking at your medical board application, and I see here under conflicts of interest where it says full disclosure of personal financial data under Alaska Statute 39.50.010 is required for certain boards and commissions. Are you willing to provide this information if required for the board or commission which you are applying? And you've checked no. May I ask why you would be unwilling to provide that information?
Oh, I must have misread that, and I have no reason to object to that.
Thank you, sir. It definitely caused a little bit of a red flag for myself, wondering what was the consideration there.
I would be happy to resubmit an application if that's needed.
I would encourage you to. Senator Geisel.
Well, I'll just suggest.
Can it be addended?
Senator Tobin, I would just suggest, having served on the Board of Nursing, that financial disclosure is not relevant to this board, though I understand it's on this application.
All right. I'll duly note it for your answer to that, Dr. Paulson. Sometimes we get in a rush and doing these things. Sometimes you may hit that wrong button on a PFD application because they ask a lot of questions repetitively and just oddly. Are there any other questions for Dr. Paulson before we move into public testimony for our three conferees today? Senator Tobin.
I do have one additional question, and thank you, Dr. Paulson. I'm always very excited to see folks who are willing to serve in such public positions. I do have a question around the recent pandemic that we've just been through. There was a lot of misinformation that was shared, and there was a lot of information that the state medical board needed to help provide some medically accurate data regarding. And I'm just curious about your beliefs or any concerns you might have around sharing CDC or NIH information regarding the efficacy of vaccines. And if another pandemic were to unfortunately impact the state, would you have any reservations about sharing that medically accurate public health information in response to a statewide public health endeavor?
I have no issues with that at all.
All right. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. At this time, we will go ahead and open public testimony. Does anyone here in the room would like to testify on the consideration of these governor appointees? Seeing none, and seeing no one online. Check. All right. At this time, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. During this time, to answer Sarah Tobin's question, I did do some research here on the Alaska Mental Health grantees. They do it by quarter. And starting in July of 2021, these are the grantees that they've listed: the Yukon Delta Fisheries Development Association, Alaska Family Services, St. Vincent, DePaul, Society of Dyson of Southeast Alaska, Community Connections, Lynx Matsu, Special Olympics Alaska, State of Health Reform, Valley Charities, Hospice of Anchorage, Mental Health Foundations, All Pediatric Partnership, and the Rasmussen Foundation. Then we go to the following quarter, which goes to Community Connections, Bethel Community Services, Polaris House, Christian Health Associates, Anchorage Police Department, Alaska Pediatric Partnership, Alaska Association of Developmental Disabilities, Valley Charities, Alaska Public Health Association, Child Care Connection Thread, Peer Power of Alaska, Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association, University of Alaska, City of Selawik, Alaska Municipal League, the Alaska Brain Injury Consortium, the Alaska Division of Public Health, Women's and Children's and Family Health, and the Association of School Boards. And I know the next question is Alaska Police Department, and they have a description here of that funding. Hold on. And it's for crisis intervention training. And the funds to support the Alaska Police Department holding crisis intervention for the Academy for 40 students from November 29th to December 3rd. And so I think that falls outside of his mid-October training is what's on the mental health website when you go and research their grant history for that time period. So any further questions before we get a motion?
I move the appointments. I make a motion to move the appointments of David Paulson to the State Medical Board, and Anita Halterman and John Morris to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority Board of Trustees to be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. This does not reflect the intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions.
Great. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will go ahead and move those appointees for consideration. We'll just continue on here. Just stay around as the form signs out. On Thursday, we will take up SJR 10, sponsored by Senator Giesel's office, resolution for Medicare. Are there any closing committee comments? Seeing none, we are adjourned at 4:05 p.m.